Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Great to see you all here. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and you're looking for a church to call your very own home, put your hand down, Lisa. We'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. If you are traveling on this gorgeous day God has given to us, we pray for safe travel and joyful homecoming for you. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part. And all of you, of course, are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. Next Saturday, the Oregon Synod is going to be having a regional synod gathering at Grace Lutheran Church in Corvallis. That's Saturday from 9:30 to 4. There's information about that on the Words of the Week and a sign-up sheet out there on the bulletin board. Today's the last day to sign up. Tomorrow I got to call them and tell them how many people are coming so they know how many lunches to be ready, so if you want to go, please sign up today. And a reminder that next Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the month, and when that happens, we have one worship service at 10 o'clock. So make sure you go home and mark your calendar. Come at 10 o'clock next week. The service will include a service of healing, and it will also include the reception of new members. So if you're interested in becoming a member of the church, that would be a great time to do it. Just let me know, and we'll make sure that happens. Mary Lou, did you have an announcement you wanted to make? There she is. She's coming now. I thought she did.
Just a thank you to all of us, all of the folks who helped us last Sunday and Monday, prepping the rooms that needed to be painted and then getting the job done. So just go take a look at the offices. They look really nice. And my apologies to Pastor, we forgot to put pink on his walls.
I was going to say my office is now brighter than I am, but okay. Any other announcements this morning? Yes. Thank you. Can't believe it's that time of the month again already. Man, they fly by. Please stand for the Thanksgiving for Baptism printed in your bulletin. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery to freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit, and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our gathering hymn is number 789.
Thank you.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us and we shall be satisfied. Heal us and we shall be whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Been a slow week around the office this week. One of the things I've done to fill the time is play with bubbles.
Who's bubbles?
You came down to see the bubbles, huh, Landon? Aren't bubbles fun? Wait till we have the summer barbecue, and Bruce Mate will be here with his bubble maker. It makes bubbles this big, doesn't it? Makes huge bubbles. These are just little bubbles. One thing I've noticed about bubbles is that they don't last very long, do they? Sometimes they don't last at all. There's a few. Bubbles don't last very long at all. Wouldn't it be cool if a bubble lasted forever? In our gospel reading for today, this is Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." What does a good shepherd do? What does a good shepherd do? He takes good care of the sheep, right? A good shepherd loves his sheep and will do anything to keep them safe and protect them and feed them and love them. That's a good shepherd. Jesus talks about some shepherds. He calls them hired hands. He says hired hands aren't good shepherds because the sheep don't belong to them. They don't care about the sheep that much. If a wolf comes, what happens to the hired hand? He runs away because the sheep aren't his. He don't care. The hired hand is like that bubble. His love for the sheep lasts about that long. As soon as there's a problem, he's out of there. But that's not the way Jesus is, right? Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus' love is a bubble that lasts forever. Forever and ever, no matter what. Isn't that cool? And he is your good shepherd, and he's my good shepherd, and he's your good shepherd. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending Jesus to be our good shepherd and for the love that he has showered upon us. Thank you for the promise that no matter what we do, you will continue to be our good shepherd and love us with a love that's eternal. Keep these children in your care today and always, and bless them in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, kids. You can go be seated.
Morning. Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and the first lesson is found in Acts chapter 4, beginning with the fifth verse. Peter and John had been arrested the previous day because they were proclaiming the news of the resurrection to the people. In today's reading, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit so that he is able to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name to the religious authorities. Hear now the word. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how the man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, who had become the cornerstone, and it has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is found on page 5 in your bulletin. We will read it responsively. I will read the light print, and if you will follow with the dark. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall feel no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second lesson is found in 1 John chapter 3, starting with the 16th verse. Jesus' death on our behalf is the clearest demonstration of divine love. This is the very love we share with others, not just through our words, but especially through our deeds. In sharing such love, we fulfill God's commandment. Hear now the word. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them, and by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. I have received this command from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Don't leave, Clara. You're going to like this sermon. Well, this is one of my favorite Sundays of the church year because one of my favorite names for Jesus has always been the Good Shepherd. It's a name, it's an image that fills me with comfort and with hope. For this is a Lord who knows his sheep by name, a Lord who leads his sheep into green pastures and beside still waters, a Lord who leaves the flock to search for one little lamb who is lost and who lays down his life for the sheep. That very famous painting of Jesus holding a little lamb in his arms has been a favorite of mine since I was very young. I've always imagined that I am that little lamb, safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Many of these images come to us from the 10th chapter of John, part of which is our gospel reading for today. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for them. And a few verses later, Jesus says it again. I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Well, all of that makes for pretty good sermon material, except for the fact that most of us do not like to be likened to sheep. Sheep have a reputation among us for being, well, rather stupid animals. Often we see them as slobbering, untidy, dumb animals that exist only to be shaved or to be slaughtered. But those who know sheep a little better than we do would tell us that not all of that is true, that sheep do indeed have some redeeming qualities. One rancher in Montana that I knew who raised sheep told me that it is cattle ranchers who are responsible for spreading many of these ugly rumors about sheep, and all because sheep don't act like cattle. Cattle, as we know, prefer to be herded from the rear by hooting cowboys and cracking whips. We've all seen enough Western movies to know that, right? But that tactic won't work at all with sheep. Stand behind them and make loud noises, and all they'll do is run around and get behind you, because sheep prefer to be led. You push cows, that Montana rancher told me, but you lead sheep. Sheep will not go anywhere that someone does not go first, namely their shepherd, who goes ahead of them, leading the way and showing them that everything is safe and all right. Sheep also tend to grow very fond of their shepherds. They develop a special relationship that's quite unique and particular. Sheep and shepherds even develop a language that is all their own, a language that outsiders are not privy to. In Palestine today, it's still possible to witness a scene that Jesus no doubt saw many times, that of Bedouin shepherds bringing their flocks down off the hills to the local watering hole. Often there might be 8 or 9 or more flocks that gather there all at the same time, different flocks that get all mixed together. For a cattle driver, that would be a disaster. It would take the rest of the day to sort out one by one which cow belonged to which herd. But with sheep and shepherds, it's quite different. When his flock has been watered and it's time to move on, the shepherd simply issues his own unique call, a whistle, a hoot, or a cry of some sort, and that shepherd's sheep, hearing that sound, will depart from the crowd and follow their shepherd home. They know to whom they belong. They know their shepherd's voice, and that voice is the only one that they will listen to and follow. So in many ways, that makes sheep a lot smarter than us, doesn't it? How many of us can say that we hear the voice of our shepherd that clearly, or that we follow it so readily? Our situation instead reminds me of a woman who used to come and visit me when I was a pastor in Spokane. She was not a member of my church, but somehow she latched on to me as someone who would give her a listening ear. Her name was Claire, and she was a schizophrenic. She was tormented by many, many voices in her head, voices which left her confused and afraid, voices which often led her into places in her life that she shouldn't have gone, voices which turned her life into a living hell. But Claire was also a very deeply spiritual person, as many schizophrenics are. She read her Bible very often. She knew she was a child of God. She knew that among the voices in her head was the voice of her God and her good shepherd. She just couldn't often pick out that voice among all the others that clamored for her attention. Now, doesn't that sound like something in your life? Sure does mine. For you and I live in a world where there are many conflicting voices, voices which call for our attention and our allegiance, voices which tear our lives to and fro. One of the loudest voices in our society is the voice of materialism and consumerism. We hear that voice everywhere we go. That voice tells us that who we are and what we are is based on what we have, that our worth as human beings is measured by our worth in dollars, or the size or make of the car that we drive, or the shoes or clothes that we wear. In many blatant and subtle ways, this voice rules our lives, runs us ragged, and distorts our sense of values and priorities. You only go around once in life, this voice whispers to us, so grab all the goodies you can. Another voice strong in our ears is the voice of individualism. This voice tells us that we are at the center of the universe, and that what matters most in life is that our needs are secured, our wants fulfilled, our goals achieved, at whatever cost. This voice leads us away from other people, seeing them as pawns to be used for our own gain, or as competitors for the power, the position, and the privilege that we crave. Human community, the community that we were created to enjoy, is thus damaged, and we all suffer as a result. Some of us, no doubt, hear a religious voice among the others in our heads, a voice that tells us that we'd better measure up before God, or we might be lost for good. This voice lays out a long list of do's and don'ts and tells us that if we want to be known by God, if we want to be loved and accepted by God, well, then we'd better toe the mark. And we better watch others to make sure they do as well. These and so many other voices rage inside of us, and like my friend Claire, they often leave us confused and frightened, guilty and shameful. They lead us into places where we shouldn't go, and doing things we shouldn't do. Each of them leads us further away from the love of God and the love of one another, and deeper into the darkness of selfishness and self-centeredness and self-righteousness. Even we Christians, we people who love God and long to hear the voice of our shepherd and be known to him, known by him, often fall into listening to these other voices. That's why we begin most of our worship services with words of confession, in some way saying, "Oh God, I have not loved you with my whole heart. I've not loved others as you want me to do. I've sinned against you and others through my thoughts, my words, my deeds." That is who we are as people if left on our own. We are sinful, we are broken, we are lost. But the good news of this Easter season is that we are not left on our own. our Good Shepherd is with us. The Shepherd who laid down his life, who gave his life for you and for me so that we might all belong to God. The good news is that we are known by that Shepherd. We belong to his flock. He has come to us, called us by name, taken us into his embrace, and given us the gift of a life that is eternal. So one day my friend Claire died, and her family, knowing that she had visited me, asked me to speak at her graveside. As we gathered in the cemetery that day, I read portions of John's Gospel, chapter 10, and talked about the voices that had so badly tormented Claire throughout her life. And that day we rejoiced together that all the voices that filled her mind had been silenced at last, and only one voice remained, the voice of her Lord, the voice of her Savior, the voice of her Good Shepherd, who said to her, "Claire, hear my voice and follow me, for I know you, and I have laid down my life for you, and you belong to me. Today I give you the gift of eternal life." Well, what was true for my friend Claire is also true for us. In this life, we will continue to be tormented by many, many voices, voices which will sometimes lead us astray and cause us to get lost. But our Good Shepherd will never give up on us. His voice will continue to call us. He will continue to seek us out and to bring us back into his fold again. And one day, like Claire, all the voices in our heads, all the voices around us will finally be stopped by death, and only that one voice will remain. And we too will hear him say, "Have no fear, little flock, for the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. I know you. You belong to me. Come, live with me and all my sheep forever and ever." And then those great words of promise from Revelation will be true for us too. The one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger and thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life and will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as we sing together the Lord's My Shepherd, number 7782.